The sixth task is visualizing your dream. Flip Wilson said, what you see is what you get. We're talking about what you see with the inner eye, not the outer eye, because when you get it in the inner eye, it's yours already, and all you do is catch up with it. When Jack and I interviewed all the best-selling authors on the planet, everybody from Wayne Dyer to Barbara DeAngelis to Johnny Gray to all of our friends, what we decided to do is cut out the New York Times bestseller list. And at the time, our colleague, Dr. Scott Peck, had been on there for 12 years, more or less always at the top. We cut his name off the top of the New York Times bestseller list, put our name with Chicken Soup for the Soul. And in our respective offices and homes, we put it on the mirror. So when you're doing your makeup, if you're a lady, or you're shaving, if you're a man, it goes through the portals of the pupil into the depth of the soul. It gets the quick of your spirit, and it starts to impress it, so it starts to express it. Now, it only takes a little time each day to visualize your desired outcomes is already accomplished. Maybe you want to have a degree rather than just a degree of commitment. So see yourself in your office with that diploma on the wall, whether it's a PhD, a DDS, an MD, a DVM, even an honorary doctorate. I mean, I visualized that I was going to get to graduate with a doctorate from Southern Illinois University, and now they've just given me an honorary doctorate. So sometimes it can spring up on you if it really takes ownership at the root of your consciousness. Visualize the amount of money you want. Visualize and see a certain bank balance, and what do you look at in your checkbook and your financial statements and your portfolio. Now, there's two parts that you got to visualize, earning power and net worth power. And the principle here is easy. If your outgo exceeds your income, then your upkeep will be your downfall. And there's a trilogy of 10. It's called the 10-10-10 rule. Save 10% of everything you earn. Give 10% of what you earn to God. It's called the miracle of tithing, and I've even written a little book called that. And once in a while, businessmen look at my book list and they say, miracle of tithing? And I said, you haven't been tithed enough lately. And then what you got to do is earn 10% more at least every year. And if you study Bill Gates or Michael Dell or something, those guys grow at a compounding rate of 50%. Now, that's astronomical, but it's doable because Michael Dell at Dell Computer visualized to realize that you could do that. Visualize the relationships you want. What's the relationship you'd like to ideally have with your sweetheart or with your kids or with your parents or with your in-laws or the joke is with your outlaws? See yourself in that kind of relationship and be a person that would express those qualities so that you live into the image of your heart's desire and that you've got the voice, you've got the touch. You do what you talk about and what you say you're going to do, you do. So now when are you going to do this? You're going to do this visualizing twice a day and make it a daily discipline. When you first get up in the morning and then right before you go to bed at night. Now, we've talked about it before, but that is when that alpha state clicks in, and that's that best state for learning. When you go in and you lull yourself to sleep and you repeat that thought mantra, just like I said we did, we want a mega bestseller, whatever it is that you want. When I was just starting the speaking business, and I'd read a book called The Magic of Believing by Claude Bristol. He said, write down how many people you're going to sell or do business with the next day or interact with in some positive and totally favorable way. And I wrote down that I'd learned that to make $100,000 a year, you need to be earning $400 a day, 250 work days. So I went to bed going 400, 400, 400. Well, at 2:22 a.m., as I looked at my digital clock, my mind woke up and it said, Bill Widener. The next day, I'm out cold calling in Hauppauge, Long Island, New York. I go into this office building that's an insurance office building because they all get together just like all the car lots get together. And it said Bill Widener, and I didn't know this guy. I didn't know his company, State Mutual. Walked into his office. There's no one at the front desk. There's no gatekeeper at his door. I just walk in, and within 3 to 5 minutes, he's writing me a check for $400. He said, I was so happy because you were enthusiastic, tuned in, and turned on. Now, I'd visualized it the night before. I believed it. I was using the mirror technique we've talked about. I'd reminded myself of the good idea and the good that I wanted to accomplish. And Bill and I have been friends ever since, and I did a great job of serving his people.
My favorite example of how powerful this concept and process of visualization is comes from New Orleans. There's a man down there who had made a lot of money in the oil business, and he wanted to give something back to the community. Looked around and found that he could do it by raising the standard of education. What he did is he adopted a middle school, and at that time, the dropout rate from the time these kids would graduate from middle school to graduate from high school was 84%. 84% of these kids never graduated high school. Well, he knew the power of visualization, how that would build motivation. So he took these kids and he made a deal with them. He said, if you stay in school, if you get a B average and you have a 95% attendance record, I will pay for your college education. Then what he did is he took these kids on a bus and took them out to a university like Tulane, and he had them shadow another student for a whole day. So they pair up with a college student. They go to all their classes. They go to lunch with them. They go to the gymnasium with them. They go to their fraternity with them. And then at the end of the day, he got them all back on a bus and brought them home. Now, for all these kids who were inner city kids, most of them had never been on a university. When you said go to college, they didn't even have a picture of what that looked like. Now they had a picture of themselves on a college campus. And every day when they would come into school, the teachers would have them close their eyes and visualize being on a college campus. They did that every day for 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade. And by the time they got to high school, this image was indelibly put into their brain. Now, they turned around that dropout rate from 84% down to about 15%. That was almost a complete reversal. That's how powerful this visualizing your dreams are. So if you'll do it, it'll do you. My other favorite story is about 1983, the Australians won the America's Cup for the first time. And when they interviewed the coach, they said, how did you get this team that was a down-under team that had never won the America's Cup? And all of a sudden, you came out here and you really went for it and you got it. What was the secret? And he said, well, you know, I read a book called Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And in that book, they talked about the power of the mind. If you see things as if they're already completed, that starts to motivate the inner creator. And it's like a teleological action that takes you right toward the goal. Well, he said, I made a tape for the team and I gave it to everyone on my team. And I made them listen to it twice a day, every day for 3 years. Now, I did the math on that. That's 2,190 times they had a tape where they were doing the narration of beating the American team. It would sound something like this. And now the boat is going around the second buoy. We're two boat lengths ahead of the Americans. And they narrated the entire race all the time being ahead of the Americans. They listened to that 2,190 times. Now, when they finally set sail in San Diego Harbor, they had beaten the U.S. team 2,190 times. And they were like, oh, not the Americans. We don't have to race them again, do we? They already knew they were going to beat them. The flame of belief had been deeply instilled in each team member. And with that flame of belief burning brightly, like we want that light to burn brightly in you, they came back and they surprised everybody by winning that cup for the first time.
Seventh task is creating your dream. If either you don't visualize well, or you simply want to accelerate this process, you can create an external goal picture as well. If you want a PhD, make one, get a degree, go to your local framing shop, frame it, put it up in a wall where you'd put it. If you want to go to Australia, go down to the travel agency and get a picture of Australia and put it on the wall just the way you want to do it. What you want to do is have a goal wall that shows the future dreams, like my wife and I have always had a dream board and a story, and we literally go through all the best magazines, Robb Report, Vogue, Town and Country, Unique Homes, all the ones that would really send you, and you cut out those pictures and you start to get the idea. Now, Jack and I have done a couple of different books with a husband-wife team named Mark and Chrissy Donnelly, and I've got permission to tell their story about their dream board. What they've done is they've gone through all the magazines, and they've got a wall that is maybe 10 by 12, and they've literally cut out pictures of the who's who in the whole wide world. They've got pictures of Ted Turner and Lady Jane Fonda, and they've got pictures of Ross Perot, and they've got just hundreds of people. It looks like People Magazine put up on their wall. And what happens is they wrote down, here's all of our best friends that we love and that love us. And what happens is slowly but surely, they're masterminding together and they're manifesting all those people. It's amazing. And I want Jack to tie this up by telling one story about one of his close friends who's really made this work, called Monty Roberts.
Monty Roberts is a friend of mine who lives about 45 minutes north of me in the San Ynez Valley. And when he was in school in his sophomore year, they asked all the kids in the class to write down an essay about what they wanted to be when they grew up. Not only did Monty write a wonderful essay about how he wanted to grow up and own his own horse ranch and race thoroughbred racing horses, but he also drew a diagram of a 200-acre ranch and a 4,000-square-foot house. He filled in all the rooms and all the furniture that would be there, and he did a complete diagram of the ranch. And when I was up at his ranch not too long ago, he showed me this picture he had drawn. Here was a three-ring notebook piece of paper with all the little blue lines going across, this diagram of the ranch and the diagram of his house. And literally, he walked me from room to room and showed me, this is the living room just as I drew it. This is the kitchen just as I drew it. Now, it took him something like 15 years to make that dream come true, but he always kept that picture that he had drawn when he was a sophomore in high school framed wherever he was. And it's a perfect example of how he made the outsourcing picture that allowed them to impress it in his mind and allowed his unconscious to figure out a way to achieve it. So what we've been looking at is how to get your vision clear, how to be really clear about what you want, how to be clear about impressing what you want in your unconscious and in your conscious mind, so that you begin to activate all of the unconscious processes that will motivate you to begin to take the actions that you need to take so that your dreams come true, to begin to take the actions of asking for what you want, making the requests you need to make, reaching out and connecting with others and networking. And when you begin to do all of that, then everything begins to crystallize and become a reality. Now, it's not enough just to create the vision. It takes a lot of work to get a clear vision. Sometimes it takes weeks and months to clear that up and get really clear. And as Mark said earlier, clarity is power. But what's so important is once you have this vision, then you have to repeatedly go back to it and start working on it moment by moment, day by day. We have a friend that says it's the frequency of interaction with the brightness of the future that motivates. And what that means is you have to repeatedly go back and look at that vision, whether you look at it in your dream book, whether you look at it on the pictures that you put on your wall like Mark and Christy Donnelly, or whether you look at it in the movie theater of your mind, which you can do anywhere, anytime. When you do that, that is going to deepen this subtle dissatisfaction that you have in your unconscious and begin to motivate you outward so that you're no longer sitting there, but you're now taking steps toward your goal. And what do we want to look at in this next section is what stops us from taking that action? Because a lot of people have dreams, but not everyone takes the actions. And what we'll look at is what it is that stops us and how to overcome the major barrier to taking action.